John chapter 5, as we've been looking and going through this wonderful little epistle concerning the believer's fullness of joy. That's what it's about. And today we're going to be looking at verses 6 to 10. And we're going to be, the title of the message is Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Jesus is the Son of God. There's no other Son but Him. And praise the Lord that He was sent into this world to save sinners just like myself. And ever since the day I was saved, I've slowly but surely been sanctified by the Lord, putting away the sin that I have. And God's been very gracious to me, working on me with in the way that He can. No one else can do it, amen, but Him. And He's been a blessing to my life. Once I got born again, the Lord started to work on me, and He continues it. That work doesn't stop. I still have to ask forgiveness for my sins. I can't hand my sins over the day before I'm saved. I can't make Him Lord of my whole life with Lordship salvation. Doesn't work that way. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in His finished work on the cross, and we're saved. Is that an amen? Amen. That's it. Now, Jesus testified more than once that He didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister, to give His life a ransom for many, to take away the sin of the world, that He came to seek and save who? The lost. He came down to lay down His life so that we might have life. Now, Jesus knew His mission on earth. Every moment of His life up until He spoke the words on the cross, "It is finished," Jesus had but one desire, and that was to be about His Father's business and to do the will of His Heavenly Father. Now, if Jesus came to take away the sin of the world, if Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, if Jesus came to give His life a ransom for many, then what brings salvation, and what does salvation consist of as far as the Lord's part is concerned? That's the question today. John 1, verse 11, we read, "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This clearly tells us that the believer is born of God. Now, when Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus in John 3, He said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, we know that God is a spirit, John 4:24, but is God water, literally speaking? Now, if we just have a read of our text in verse 6, "This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that beareth witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of His Son." Heavenly Father, as we look into Your word now, we just ask that You would bless us with Your grace and Your mercy. Give us a deeper understanding of Your hand at work in our lives, Lord, and help us to just take this in and, Lord, allow it to change us, Lord, as we walk with You in our daily lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John 15:3 tells us, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." In Ephesians 5:25, we're told, "Husbands, love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. Now Titus 3:5 tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, as Christians we are born, we are cleansed, we are redeemed, and we're sanctified by the washing by water, which is always referring to the Word of God. Now, when the woman at the well asked Jesus for the living water, he had told her about water that would once and for all quench her thirst. And Jesus gave her that water, but the question is, what did he give her? What did he give her? He gave her the word, because he said to her, I that speak unto thee am he. John 4:26. When Jesus said that, what did the woman do? She dropped her water pots and she ran into town. She told all the men, she said, I found the Messiah. And what happened? A great revival broke out because of her testimony. When was the last time we ran off to some people and said, I found the Messiah? You see, the water is the Word. We are born of the Word and of the Spirit. We are cleansed by the washing of the Word. And the new life, the new birth, comes by water, which is the Word and the Spirit. Now, Jesus came by water and Spirit. He was the Word of God in flesh. Now, we know that the Word was in the beginning with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh. And Jesus came to this earth in a body of flesh to do what? Declare the Father's words. In fact, he said in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing added. Nothing we can do to be saved than to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't turn from anything. We can't add anything. We can't say anything. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him. Now, verse 6 in our text says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. So we see here, there are three in heaven that bear record. The Father, the Word, that's Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And it tells us those three are one. So we're given the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then there's three that bear witness in earth. The Holy Spirit, the water, and the blood. And it says these three agree in one. The question is, do we have six witnesses? Are these different witnesses, or are they the same three? Now, we know God cannot be divided. You know, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, they bear record in heaven, and it is the same three who bear witness in earth. And since the Word bears record in heaven, the Word, not ordinary water, bears record in earth. Are you following me? Say amen. That's it. Now the blood is the blood of God. Now we know that because Acts 20:28 tells us, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased, how? With his own blood. We see in that verse there's a command to the overseers or pastors to feed the church of God. And we also see that it was God who purchased his church with his own blood. Not the blood of bull and goats, not the blood of animals, not just mere human blood, but his own blood. So that's what it says. And so the blood shed by Jesus on the cross was the blood of God. Now, God begat Jesus. Remember, he overshadowed Mary in the person of the Holy Ghost. She conceived and gave birth to God's only begotten Son. Now, Leviticus 17:11 tells us, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul." See, it was through our Lord's shed blood that he shed for the remission of sins, that God purchased his church. So we have the Trinity, God's blood, the Word, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The same three bear witness in heaven and in earth. Now 1 John there, 5, 7 and 8, the same three witnesses. They're the same. Now if you look at John 12:46, Jesus said, "I am a light. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world," listen to this, "but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now look at 2 Timothy 4:1. It tells us, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." So notice in John, it's the word that judges. In 2 Timothy, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who judges. You see, the Word and Jesus are one in the same. Jesus was the Word in flesh, John 1 and John 1:14. Jesus brought the Word down to man. And now Jesus, the man, sits at the right hand of the throne of the Father, pleading our case and making intercession to the Father for his children by faith. And Jesus came by water, in other words, by the word, but not just words alone. He didn't come and just announce God so loved the world. He proved that God so loved the world, and he did it by laying down his life for us. Yes, we know that John 6:63 tells us Jesus came speaking the wonderful words of life. But he not only spoke words, he gave his blood. He came by water and blood, and the Spirit testified that he was Jesus, that he was the Son of God. Now 1 John 4:13 says, "Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and do testify the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world." You know, that's one of my favorite verses. Do you know why? Because if you've got young children, they can memorize that. That's an easy one. You know, when we were doing Sparkies, for years we did the Sparkies, the little kids, and that was the theme verse. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And these little kids would run around all night going, "The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." You see, Jesus came to redeem us. Jesus came to save sinners. He finished and completed that work. He came to teach us that he is the only way. You see, church membership doesn't save us. The Lord's table is not going to save us. Water baptism will not save us. Every believer is the product of the work of the Son of God. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are saved by grace through faith and nothing else. Nothing. You know, verse just came to mind in Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what? Gets baptized? No. Believeth. Christ is the end of the law for everyone that believeth. Not baptized. Not the Church of Christ. Not the Lutherans. You see, Christ is the end of the law for those who are specially chosen? No. For those that believeth. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for those who make Jesus Lord of their life before they get saved. For those who have to give over their sin before they get saved. For those who have to do some work before they get saved. No, for them that believeth. It's not hard. When I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that was my repentance. You see, if I'm going to go to Brisbane, I don't say to you, oh, well, who can I pick on? Brother Ian, I can pick on you, can't I, brother? Yes, he says yes. I don't say to Brother Ian, I'm going to leave the Gold Coast and go to Brisbane. It's implied. I just say I'm going to Brisbane. It's implied I'm going to leave the Gold Coast. When I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's my repentance. And by faith I received him and there's my salvation. Don't let anyone tell you you've got to add something or do something to be saved. The Bible's clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. We're saved by grace through faith plus nothing else. That's why John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that what? Believe on his name. Listen, salvation always leads to good works. We are saved to do good works, but we are never saved by our works. Works do nothing to add to a person's salvation. What they do is bring rewards, but they can never, ever bring redemption. And what we have to look forward to is either gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Question is, what would you and I like to earn? Hey, we want the first three, or one of the first three, don't we? I want to see every day I've preached or witnessed. I don't want to see that just go push up in smoke. We want something for it, but that's never going to save us. That's what happens after we're saved. Now look at verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Now listen, all of us here today have received the witness of men. Do you know how we know that? Because when we were children, that was a long time ago for some of us, more than others, amen. When we were children, we believe what our parents told us. Is that true? We obeyed them. Is that true? Not all the time. No, it's not. But we believe what they said. When we grew older, we believed the things that we were taught through our educations, through the things of history. Look, none of us here would doubt that Edmund Barton became Australia's first Prime Minister on the 1st of January 1901. That the ceremony took place in Centennial Park in Sydney because it's written down in history. We have the witness of men. But none of us here saw him. None of us here were at the ceremony. But we believe the account given to us of men about that event. Now listen, if we didn't believe the witness of men, we wouldn't get very far in this life. And the Holy Spirit here is using this point to show us that the witness of God is so far greater. Greater than the witness of men. Now, many a man has borne false witness for no other reason than to hurt people. We all know that. But God could not do that, you see, because God is love, and the witness that God has given to us is truth. What a privilege to be able to hold one of these up and know that you can't find a lie in it. That's refreshing. Absolutely refreshing. People say, oh, but it says, no, it doesn't. God says this is what happened, and that's exactly what happens. Amen. There's no lie. Whatever God has said, brothers and sisters, can be depended upon it. We can hear it, we can believe it, we can live by it. And you know what the greatest blessing of it all is? We can die by it. We can die by it. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified where? In his Son. See, Jesus is the Son of God. Now at the Lord's trial in John 19:7, the Jews answered and said, we have a law, and by our law, he, that's Jesus, ought to die. And it's interesting, you know why they said that? And it says, because he made himself the Son of God. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. They said he made himself the Son of God. Jesus didn't make himself the Son of God. The angels announced his birth in Luke 2. The start of his public ministry was announced from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, Matthew 3. At the Mount of Transfiguration, God clearly, audibly declared, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him, Matthew 17:5. Heaven declared that Jesus was the Son of God, not Jesus himself, not man. Verse 10 of our text. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You know, this without a doubt is one of the greatest verses of assurance we can find in God's Word. We are saved by believing on Jesus. End of story. Nothing else. John 1, 12 and 13, we've read. John 3, 16 and 18. John 5, 24, 6, 47. Acts 16, 31. You see, when God saves a person, he puts that witness within the person. There's no such thing as salvation apart from God's assurance. We know that we have passed from death unto life. If we know, we don't have to have faith that maybe that's right. We know. 1 John 3:14 to 16. We know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21, 27. 2 Timothy 1:12, we know whom we have believed. Is that true? Amen? Amen. Brothers and sisters, 1 John 3:24 says, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given to us. Listen, salvation is all about what God gave, not what we can do to get it. We simply believe on him and receive him. Now, something special here, well, not special, something a bit solemn, I should say. If a person is not saved, and they read these words, if a person is not saved and they hear these words and then close the book and close their ears and refuse to receive Jesus as their Saviour, they are immediately declaring God is a liar. That's simple when it's plain. Now, can I ask, have you read or heard John 3:16? No? Oh. If you have and you reject it, you are declaring God is a liar. And it's an extremely serious thing to hear the word of God and then just turn a deaf ear to its truth. And it tells us why people are calling God a liar. It tells us in that verse, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. That's why. You see, God's word promises eternal life if we will hear the word and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, God's word also promises us that the grace that saves us is also able to keep us. We don't have time today, but you go home and read Romans 8:31-39. And if you're in doubt that God can keep you, Paul added, and any other thing, just in case we might come up with something. No, we are kept by God's grace. You see, we have God's promise. If we hear the word, believe on Jesus, trust in his finished work, he will save us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will keep us, and we will be victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen? We will be. Does that mean every trial is going to disappear? No, but it means you can be on top of the trial. You can go through the trial. And if we know that God has taken us through, then there's no reason or room to start complaining about it, is there? No one here has ever complained about a trial, have they? Come on. We've never criticized the life we're living, have we? Come on. We don't have to. God's given us the victory. We can be on top of it. Didn't Jesus say if anyone had the faith of a mustard tree, they could say to that mountain, move and go? He did. Am I going to say, no, I can't believe that? Just have some faith. We are assured through the word that God is going to supply our every need in this life. Matthew 6:31, we note, therefore take no thought, saying, what we shall eat, what we shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows it. Isn't that a blessing to know? He knows what we need. And he says to us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All of them. Oh, but you don't know how hard it is, Pastor. You don't know how much I'm struggling, Pastor. Well, why don't you just believe that God's going to take care of you? Trust him. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply some of your needs in Christ Jesus. Is that what it says? It says all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 1:3 is one of the first messages I ever preached, this passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. How? Through faith unto salvation. Not works unto salvation, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now that word kept's a military term. It's like a guard's around you. He's watching over you. Reserved. You know, when you go to a restaurant, if you've reserved a seat, when you go in there, you expect to be seated down, don't you? I've reserved it. That's my place. If someone else is in your seat, you get a bit cranky, don't you? Get out of there, buddy. I'm hungry. I want to eat my dinner. No, but when we get to heaven, it's reserved. No one can take your place. That's yours. It's kept by the power of God. That's why our hope is a lively. It's a living hope. Yes. We're not going to all hope so. No, it's hope. Oh, man, I can't wait. That's the hope. Now, in John 14, 1-3, Jesus promised he's going to prepare a place for us. His children, he would return and receive us unto himself. What? That where I am, there ye may be also. This place, this is not our home, brothers and sisters. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. So what do we know? Well, when we hear the word of God, Romans 10:17, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God saves us for Christ's sake and gives us that victory over the world, the flesh and the devil. That's what we know. Then he keeps us by his mighty power. He supplies every need we have, and he reserves a home for us in heaven that will never fade away. Brothers and sisters, we can close up the book. That's the best deal you're ever going to get. That's the best. He also promises to come for us and to take us where he is. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Why? So that we shall ever be with the Lord. You know, if we've got a problem being with the Lord in his house now, we need to get used to the fact we are going to be with him forever. Amen. Now James 1:17 tells us, with God there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. We're also told God is light and in him is no darkness at all. This blazing light with no faults, no lies, no half-truths. See, God is truth, and the record he gave of his Son and this way we have salvation through his Son is either the pure truth or a pure lie. See, Jesus was not just a good man. He claimed to be God in flesh. Now, if he wasn't God in flesh, then he wasn't good. If he wasn't God come into the world, made flesh, he's also a liar. So to hear the record that God gave of his Son and to reject its truth, again, is to call God a liar. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we're told, and this is a lovely verse, but it's hardly ever quoted, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the question today is, if you don't know Jesus, why? Why not this very moment ask God to forgive you and save you for Jesus' sake? If you truly believe that and trust that and understand it's the truth, God will do it. And Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, Therefore, being justified by his grace, no work at all, by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What a God and Savior we have. Believe, receive, trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will save you. That's his word. Jesus is his son, and that's the truth. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, so rich, so simple, Lord, and so true. And we pray, Lord, if anyone has heard your word today and is trusting in their works to save them and make them right, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has touched their heart and shown them, Lord, that their surrender is to believe upon you, to receive you and trust you, and they'll be saved. Lord, and us, those of us who know this and have this record in our hearts, help us to make sure we tell someone about it today, tomorrow, and the next day, until the day you take us home. We love you and we thank you, Lord. And it is in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen.